This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's off! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Left one go from center court.
He got it!
There has been so much conversation with this coronavirus pandemic that's going on. And believe me, it is a pandemic because one of my best friends in journalism and in life had to go through it. He got through it, and he's here with me. This is Danny Thompson, and he joins me right now on the other side of the hotline. How are you, brother? Glad to have you.
You know what? It's good to be back. The whole thing of the coronavirus is fun. Quote-unquote hashtag, not really. But you know what? The good thing is that the results came back negative.
Yes.
But the whole process, you know, it's a real process. Like, when you see people talk about the nose swabbing,
yep,
that's real.
Yes.
It's the weirdest feeling in the world. People have asked me about it. What does it feel like? I'm like, they're sticking a thing in your nostril, in both of them, mm-hmm, and they're digging for gold. It's the weirdest,
yeah,
20 seconds per nostril you'll ever feel. And then you have to wait for the results. It's like, it's to me, it's a life-changing experience because I can say I'm blessed. I came back negative. But those 12 days in between, Brian, let me tell you, stress is not even the word. But
I get
it's
it.
Over and done with. Through the grace of God, we're having this conversation right now.
And
so I'm glad to be talking about something other than the coronavirus. Let's talk hoops.
And does it not feel good to hug that little one a little bit tighter than that?
Who are you telling?
from father to father. And I can tell you, the first time I hugged my little girl, before I lost it to a breathing issue at age 2, man, listen, you appreciate every little hug you get from your little ones. You know it as well as I.
Yeah, that hug was a little bit tighter, and you know, and just meant a little bit more. But you know, it makes you just realize how important every day is, and how precious every 24 hours you get each day is. So it's a beautiful story. Beautiful
yes,
thing.
It is.
Can't complain.
So let's talk some hoops. And over the course of the weekend, there was a conference call with President Donald Trump. I better address it correctly because you know how I feel, and people will come after me. They will verbally come mm-hmm. after me. You know this is what. Look, you've read my post.
I don't even talk politics. You already know. Because the second you mention anything in politics is like, you know. No one's wrong, no one's right. It's just basically everybody having a free for all. It's worse than Royal Rumble than WWE.
It's a.
The only thing about WWE is prescripted.
Wait. Let's go old school. It's a prescripted WWF Royal Rumble, and I'm talking about with a title on the line. I'm talking about the '92 Royal Rumble in Sacramento, where you had so many twists and turns that were written into it, and you know they were written into it. Come on.
I was gonna say '91 Ric Flair in Orlando when he debuted.
I love it. That's a separate conversation for another time. The conference call happened, and there was something that I said on one of my programs that people didn't believe will happen that actually now is a possibility that the NBA season is going to be cut short. And when I say cut short, I mean canceled.
It's, you know what, I mean, it's the doomsday scenario. It's the scenario nobody in the league wants to deal with. Now, they're trying, you know, Brian, they're trying to find every way possible to finish this season somehow. And what hurt the NBA isn't what the NBA did or did not do. It's what happened with China and the CBA.
Yes.
Over there. Because they were supposed to go back April 1st, now April 15th. Now they're back on hiatus again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was under the impression that China had everything under control where those guys can go back.
Right.
Not playing with fans, but going to a point where they can go back and play.
Yes.
Now the issue is, can the teams get enough tests administered to all the players around the league, keep them quarantined, and find a location or two to keep them all together so they can finish the season somehow? Now, there's been one idea of sending everybody to Vegas,
mm-hmm,
and play and finish the games there. Now, mind you, Vegas is a perfect place.
Yes.
There's a multitude of hotels within literally microseconds of the Thomas and Mack Center and the Cox Pavilion.
Yep.
They host NBA Summer League.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, if you've been to Summer League, both buildings, Cox and Thomas and Mack, are connected by a hallway.
Yeah.
So, and that's the best part of Summer League is because you can go to games in both arenas, but you don't have to touch Las Vegas sun in July.
Yes.
You can just literally go from one air-conditioned building to another one. You can finish both games. You can have games going on at the same time all day. You can really play 12 games a day.
Yeah.
You know, in that format. That's one possibility. The other possibility, as I said, was to send the Western Conference out to Vegas and put the Eastern Conference in either Atlantic City. Now, I'm not sure about the venues for Atlantic City. Orlando was as a possibility, and the reason why Orlando is because, remember, Orlando has hosted Summer League. If you've been inside Amway Arena, their practice facility is inside of Amway Arena, of Amway Center. So it's literally like kind of like Thomas and Mack is connected by a hallway. You can literally play two games at the same time, one inside the big arena, of course, and you can play the other one inside the practice court.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about other ways of doing this. And also Orlando, where the arena is, there's about maybe 7 to 10 hotels, all literally within two blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to do complete quarantine, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Meaning that you finish the regular season. Basically, there'll be no more East-West games in this situation played against each other. You'll probably get maybe 4 or 5 games, and then you start the playoffs. The real question is, you really can't do 7-game playoffs. You can't do 7-game series in this situation. It's too late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the doomsday scenario is, you know, we have April 15th, a huge day in the NBA, Brian, and that's the day with the paychecks. Because the paychecks will determine what happens with the league.
Yeah.
I think the conference call is one thing, but the owners ask the players to take 50% pay cuts on April 1st. The players are saying, we'll give you 25%, but that doesn't start until mid-May. So that's the $64 doomsday question. Because I don't know if the owners want to evict that doomsday clause, which basically says they don't have to pay the players because of something like this,
mm-hmm.
which means the players get nothing April 15th. The owners have a clause in the CBA they can trigger that. I don't know if that's in the best interest of the league with negotiations with the Players Association.
No,
I don't know if the owners want to. You don't want to hit that doomsday button. I don't know if they want to do it. It's not good. It's not good for either party because the players are mad because they have a check coming.
Yeah, and it's a situation that could go either way. You don't want to trigger the doomsday button, but at the same time, there may not be much of a choice.
I mean, you saw what happened in Utah on Friday with Larry Miller. They laid off 80 employees.
Yep.
The Jazz laid off 80 employees yesterday. They furloughed. I mean, they let them go for right now. Because guess what? Owners are losing money. There's nothing coming in. And this is going to be the norm. I mean, we saw Adam Silver and company take less money. You know, their major employees, they took pay cuts too.
Yep.
So this is becoming serious, you know, and, you know, it's funny because you look at, back in soccer overseas, I think it was Real Madrid, Lionel Messi and Barcelona, those guys, they gave up their salaries to the club so that nobody lost their jobs. They turned away money.
Right.
I think Messi and Ronaldo gave away $11 million in guaranteed money. Just to make sure these guys, their staff, not just the people in what we call the clubhouse, but the workers, people who are employed, don't lose their jobs because ownership's not making money.
Right.
So now I wonder, would the NBA players do that for the people who are about to be furloughed? I mean, like I said, the Jazz just lost 80 employees yesterday on Friday. That's just the start of things.
Yeah.
If this thing drags on potentially into the summer, who knows what's going to happen?
And
we don't know, Brian. Like I said, you mentioned it earlier on a couple of shows before. The NBA does not want to trigger that doomsday button because the real question is, if the NBA triggers that clause and says their season's done, what does that do for the NHL? What does that do for Major League Baseball? What does that do? What does that do for MLS? Well, I mean, you got that conference call today, Brian. The final conference call on Saturday. You had everybody on that conference call, with the exception of the NCAA.
Yep.
Every single major commissioner or person who runs a professional sports organization. Adam Silver, you had Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell.
You had
Rob Manfred.
Val Ackerman.
Yep.
Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. You had everybody on this call today.
Who leads a professional sports organization was on that conference call on Saturday. And
the Francis from NASCAR, yep. Everybody was involved in this.
Yes.
And so when I saw Adam Schefter pull that tweet out today on Saturday, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw
I'm
that
like,
Saturday.
Before
we came on today, we posed that very same question. If the NBA, who was the first professional league to shut down, pulls the trigger and activates that doomsday clause, what does it do for the rest of professional sports, part A? And part B, something a lot of people, save you and I, don't want to look at, how long does it stay activated?
I think if they pull the trigger on this season and just end it completely, I think we're back in October.
Yeah.
The only question is, see, the problem is the NBA didn't have a champion. And they don't want... They've had a champion every single year, and I don't think no professional doesn't want not to have a champion.
Right.
Now, I think the best way to solve this problem, honestly, is you might want to go NCAA tournament style.
Right.
Everybody gets one game.
One and done.
You do the one and done. You give everybody 2 weeks. You get the 16 playoff teams.
Yes.
2 weeks. You give them, let them get back into basketball shape.
Mm-hmm.
You let them do what they need to do.
Yep.
Even if you have to quarantine them to Vegas, I get it.
Yeah.
You basically, even if, what you can do is you can play best 2 out of 3 if needed to.
Mm-hmm.
You do one game for the opening round, 2 out of 3 for everything else. This thing gets done. We can finish summer league in 2 weeks.
And it's a sprint.
We can get the playoffs done.
It would literally be a sprint to a championship. It would be 1999 all over again, although this would be
even faster.
Much short, yeah, it would be shorter and faster.
It'll be
micro ball, basically, because you're bringing
it's not ideal.
Back. No, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. It's not ideal. But at the same time, if you want to be sure everybody's health stays in order, because it's slowly starting to bounce back, slowly, and I emphasize the word slowly, it's slowly starting to bounce back. But at the same time, everything is the social distancing, which is a stupid term to me because it's physical distancing. The social distancing is in effect until April 30th. So not only is the 15th of this month very important, but so is April 30th, because that's when the moratorium on social distancing is supposed to be lifted, okay? And being here in North Carolina, we're all waiting until May 18th when the high school sports season is supposed to resume. And I'm praying it resumes because I need my microphone right about now, but that's a different story. But at the same time, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, do I need to say
that? Yeah, every girl in the country knows that. Every girl in the country knows this. So, don't worry, we all know.
But let's continue to be serious. But you can bring back the mini series for every round except the opening round. Yeah, it's not an ideal situation, but at the same time, if you want to get maximum results in a short amount of time, bring the miniseries back for the conference semifinals, the conference finals, and then the World Championship Series. You get everything done,
and
the players get a chance to rest and extend their rest. You can schedule everything on time, including one of the biggest events aside of Summer League, the NBA Draft.
And I'll be honest with you, I mean, you know, Brian, if the NBA pushed, I would say, to start the mini playoffs, like this idea, June 15th, after Father's Day.
Yes.
We started after Father's Day. We could be done, essentially, by July 1st.
Yes. Yes.
As long as, like I say, we just put them in Vegas, and just like I said, the first round games, you get enough time to get enough tests for the 16 teams in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there's teams chasing for the final playoff spot. I get it. But something has to give here.
Yeah, and it has to give now.
Okay, there's nobody within a half game of the final playoff spot right now.
No.
Okay? The closest, I think, is 3 games right now. There's nobody that's like literally one game away from making the playoffs. I see teams making runs. I get it.
You have to.
The ideal thing would be 7 to 10 games, yep. But we don't have that.
You can add this as well. If there were teams within a half game of the number 8 spot, you take a page out of Major League Baseball's book and you institute a wild card game.
Have a playing game.
Yep.
That's what it is. Or if you want to do it that way, have 8 play 9, and then basically where that game goes to play, goes to get, they become snacks for LeBron and Giannis in the first round. There we go.
So you don't get that much time to celebrate anyway because you got to go up against King James and King Giannis.
Basically, you have a chance to deal with, you got the Greek Freak and you have King James in the opening round. If you want to give that ninth seed their chance.
Yeah,
I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah. You can have a wild card game, and the wild card game would be very exciting. But at the same time, it kind of fits seeing this past Saturday should have been the Final Four in Atlanta, and I was looking forward to that, seeing how they would configure Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Like, that's another conversation for another time. It would be the first four. It would be the first four, but in this case, it would be 8 versus 9. You know what? Mm-hmm. That could be a situation they could incorporate. 8 versus 9.
Or if you really want to have a little bit of fun, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, the two winners go in the – basically you're allowing the 1 and 2 seeds to kind of have a bye, kind of sort of, and 7, 8, 9, and 10 – get one game shot in the playoffs.
And a coin flip to where it's played.
Oh, no, everything's in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
You keep everybody in one area. There's no reason to be traveling.
Right.
You know, if we get a June 15th date, let's say June 15th or after Father's Day,
yes,
that gives the NBA enough time to get the 16, 18, whatever, how many teams we're getting, tested.
Yeah.
It gets them to get enough tests involved, get all the results back.
Mm-hmm.
After that point, you make it mandatory. Nobody leaves the house. Yeah. Nobody goes anywhere.
Right.
You do not. All what you do is you get them all in Vegas. You all test them after Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
You basically send them to Vegas on Mother's Day.
Yep.
You get them tested once before they leave. Then you have a mandate. Everybody shows up at a certain time. When the test got clear, at that point you test them again, and you keep them all quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
You have enough hotels in Las Vegas. There's enough hotels. There's enough hotels to keep everybody happy.
Yes.
Families stay home. Mm-hmm. We play. I know we don't want to play empty arenas, but listen, the players have. I know. Like, for example, LeBron doesn't want to play empty arenas. I get it. The crowd gets these guys into it. We all want that.
Yes.
The other part is you keep. I hate to say is you keep the media out of this.
Yeah.
You don't need any more hands on this.
Right.
You just keep the television partners, and you only have one television partner, whether it be ESPN or Turner, which would lead to NBA TV.
Yes.
You only have one set of – we have one set, and you have two sets of announcers, one that's going to be doing games at Cox, one's going to be doing games at Thomas and Mack. You keep them in their areas.
Yes.
They're not allowed to be around the public. They're not allowed to leave their hotels. It's basically arena, bus, hotel. That's it.
That's it.
And then you get this thing done, you said, Brian, in 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
We can push the draft into July. I'm okay with that.
You can push
it. I'm okay with that.
You can push the draft back to when the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was to take place. You can have it that week. Or that Thursday
and
night.
Then you start free agency, and then you start free agency right after that.
Right. And then you allow the players to rest. Then you get your summer league games in, and we're on target for October. But at the same time,
and then you kind of have a better scale of what's going on
right.
in the country when it comes to this pandemic. If we're talking, like I said, you start in June. That's essentially, Brian, what we're talking 8 weeks away.
Yeah.
You know, you're basically saying, here's what we're going to do. I know this isn't ideal, but what would hurt the most is, as a fan, especially if you're a Lakers fan, you're a Bucks fan, or a Clippers fan, you are this close to a championship.
Yes.
The Clippers have never seen one. The Bucks haven't seen one since Kareem mm-hmm. and Oscar were together.
Yep.
Giannis has a time over his head.
Yes.
If somehow they don't win a championship this year, that time starts ticking.
Yeah.
The time is ticking.
And I stick to my convictions. If the Bucks do not see a title this season, and I know Giannis is tied to the Bucks for another year, but at the same time, if they don't get it done, Giannis is out.
You got to see. The thing is, as not even Giannis being out, as crazy as it sounds, if you're the Bucks, you might have to start thinking, do I trade this guy?
Right. And try to get the maximum for him.
I mean, and I know the Golden State Warriors have the most draft capital of anybody.
Yep.
Or immediate draft capital.
And the Warriors, you listen, we'll talk about this at another time. The Warriors are licking their chops, okay? The Warriors
also, if the ping pong balls fall in their favor and they get that Timberwolves pick.
Uh-huh.
But the Timberwolves pick has to be the top five. Has to be number five or number six.
Yes.
Because I think it's top three protected. When it's top three, top five protected.
Yes.
If they get conveyed that pick this year and they end up with the number one overall pick with a third player, a third first round pick,
mm-hmm.
and you're telling the Bucks you can either take Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green, which are more likely to be Andrew Wiggins,
mm-hmm.
if you're the Bucks. If you're the Bucks, that's a hard thing to say no to.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I mean, you have a chance to draft Baby Ball with the first overall pick.
Yep.
And then you have a chance to get Obi Toppin or James Wiseman.
Yep.
You fill all your holes. Chris Middleton's still an all-star. You either get Draymond Green or you get Andrew Wiggins back. So you get something in return. You have a third first-round pick. You're never going to get value for Giannis.
No.
There's nothing in the league that you can trade for him to say it's even.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one player in the league. You can't trade LeBron for him. He's 35 going to 36.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is the closest player value-wise, but Anthony Davis has an injury history.
Value-wise, it's close. Skill-wise, it's not close. Let's just
and also, you got to factor Anthony Davis' health.
Yes, because he has not played, and I've said this quite a few times on this program. You've heard me say it. Anthony Davis has yet to play a full season since he's been in the NBA, and this is since 2012.
I don't care about full season. You got to give me 75 games.
And he
74, 75.
And he hasn't played 75.
In a while. In a long time. And that's the thing. Like, if Davis plays 74, 75 games, I think you can do that deal any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest you're going to get. I love James Harden. That doesn't make sense. Steph Curry, no. I love Steph Curry, but that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And Steph Curry's not going anywhere. Steph Curry is tied to
the only The only other obstacle you're looking at, maybe Luka Doncic, if you're looking at for a long-term fit.
True. Very true.
But, I mean, I think Mark Cuban pulled that trigger 3 days from tomorrow.
Oh, you know
he put Giannis and Kristaps Porzingis together? Whew.
Oh, boy. Dangerous. Dangerous.
That's late.
You know Cuban will pull that trigger blindfolded. He'll pull that trigger blindfolded.
I don't know if he pulled blindfolded. I think he would think about it. Because Luka's only 21. He's 21 years old?
True.
21, and he's only getting better. I mean, you have to think about it for a second, but
yeah.
I don't see why you wouldn't pull the trigger. But it's not something you say yes to immediately. You have to think about it.
You really do.
But that might be the only player you think about. Every other player in the league, you snatch him up in a second.
Yep.
But another day, another topic.
Yep. Yeah, another topic. Let's pause for a second. Danny Thompson on the other side of the break when you all get back. Danny Thompson hanging out with me, and, you know, we gave our scenarios, or he gave his scenario, and it's a damn good one on how the NBA can come back. But speaking of NBA, how about some current good news? And I'll mention four players. Mm-hmm. Tamika Catchings, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. Let's see, who am I missing? I don't know. Some guy named Kobe Bryant. Over the course of the weekend, all were elected to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. You want to talk about a star-studded class. Folks, you got one. You got one.
And you know what? And the thing is, we're not even mentioning Rudy Tomjanovich or Eddie Sutton.
No.
Two of the best coaches.
Oh.
Eddie Sutton's one of the most underrated college coaches of all time.
Yes.
And Rudy T, you know, he was the coach of Clutch City.
Yep.
You really, you know, and... I mean, he was a pretty good ball player, but even better coach. And, like, you know, this Hall of Fame class, But we all knew this class was coming.
Yeah, we did.
You know, I had circled the Hall of Fame date the second they had changed the rule for Kobe Bryant
right.
to go into the Hall of Fame with those guys before even the passing happened.
Yeah.
That was on my list of things I had to do as a basketball fan, as a journalist, whatever it had to be. I had to be in Springfield because one of the few things that I had on my bucket list, I wanted to see and hear what Kobe Bryant Hall of Fame speech would have been.
Same.
Because I could only imagine, because we hear the stories of Kobe now from different players.
Yep.
I can only imagine what Kobe would have had to say about being in the Hall of Fame. It would have been about 20. I mean, because Garnett's speech is going to be amazing anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tim Duncan. A lot of folks don't get to see Tim Duncan's personality. I've seen it. Yeah. He's a very personable guy.
Yeah, he doesn't
seem like the person he is. It's the same with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi has a personality that people say behind closed doors isn't what we see, you know, in front of the media. He's a different type of guy.
Yeah.
He's very funny, low-key.
Oh, yeah.
But Kobe Bryant we have seen as the assassin, the Black Mamba, the coldest player in the league since Michael Jordan when it comes to... It is. I mean, he emulated Michael so much in so many different ways. But, you know, as we saw with Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, Jordan became human for a bit of time.
Yeah.
He showed his human side. We saw, you know, that's where the crying Jordan came from because he cried during the Hall of Fame speech.
Yep. I mean,
Kobe would have cried probably.
I thought that MJ improvised that entire speech. I did. I really thought, if you listen to how Michael delivered it through all the emotion, through the multiple standing ovations, the players that he mentioned, and people are saying, oh, he took shots at everybody. Listen, he took shots at everybody when he was on the floor, okay? He took shots at everybody when he was on the floor because they challenged him to beat him, and he did, all right? Get over it.
At the same time, Michael Dennis quit was take shots. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Right.
When he was on the court, he took shots. Nine players, he took shots with the ball in his hand.
Yep.
You expected him to pass on the Hall of Fame speech? Come on now.
No. I mean, I've been asked so many times, being from Chicago, seeing the man play for 13 years, you know, do you think he was making fun? Look, he made Hall of Fame players look silly with the ball in his hand. You think he wouldn't pass up an opportunity to make them laugh and make them smile on a Hall of Fame speech? And, oh, by the way, folks, like I said, When Mike gave his speech and I gave a review on it some time back, listen to me carefully. He made them laugh during his Hall of Fame speech. He illustrated what kind of person he was and the teammates that he had. And he had everybody standing and cheering for him, a friend or foe, opponent or not, during those 33 minutes. If you could take Michael Jordan's 15-year career and encapsulate it into 33 minutes, Hall of Fame speech.
He did it. And I just would love to see Shaq, because I think Shaq's the one that's going to induct him into the Hall of Fame. Do this, you know, this prelog.
I mean,
and
I would. My two choices to induct Kobe would have been MJ or Shaq, or both.
I think Shaq would. I mean, MJ is one thing, but I think Shaq would have been better because there's nobody that got Kobe to the level of Kobe without Shaq.
True.
And I'll say it like this. The reason I say that is, oh, yeah, Kobe was this, Kobe was that. Listen, Kobe was an 18-year-old rookie.
Yep.
When he, you know, him and Shaq got together.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq was the face of the Lakers, but Shaq saw something in him.
Yeah, he did.
And just like everybody else saw something in Kobe, Shaq was able to let Kobe bring it out of him. Because to be honest with you, when you have the most dominant big man in basketball,
yep.
And it makes things easier. Not to say Kobe didn't work. Not to say Kobe did not earn everything he did. But if Kobe Bryant would have been a Laker without Shaquille O'Neal, or Kobe Bryant would have been a Charlotte Hornet, this might not have turned out the same way.
True. I'll give you that. I will give you that. It's the same way, and I'll make this comparison, it's the same way MJ saw everything in Scotty that Shaq saw in Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying Shaq. I'm not saying that Kobe and Scotty on the same level, because that's not the debate here or even the argument here. It's just the fact of Shaq was able to bring out a young Kobe Bryant, and he knew, I guess Shaq, you go back, you listen to Shaq back in the early part of the 2000s, even when he was Lakers, like, this is the future of the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
He even said it many a times.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it. And the thing was, the Lakers were almost unbeatable because Shaq would beat you up for three quarters and Kobe would finish you off in the fourth.
Yep. And in the 2001 World Championship Series, Kobe did. Shaq didn't have to do much, even though he was named Finals MVP. But who put the Sixers away in 2001?
Well,
who put Philadelphia away?
The Sixers front office by letting Allen Iverson do what he wants to, but that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, well, that's an unfiltered conversation, and we'll have to do that another time.
But, no, I think, like I said, the Hall of Fame class, it gets no better. I saw somebody post something over the weekend. Is this the greatest Hall of Fame class of all time? And I think it was Leah, my man Ellie Brodus, over at 3-Point Conversion, big shout out to him.
Yeah.
He's the one that posted it.
Is this
the greatest?
I love Ellie Brodus. He is so knowledgeable when it comes to hoops.
He was like, is this the greatest Hall of Fame class? And I said, the real question is the Dream Team considered a Hall of Fame class? Because I think when you look at this, like the talent on the Dream Team's Hall of Fame class is one thing. Now, as far as the individual class itself, it gets no better than this class.
Right.
It just doesn't get better. Like, you know, there's a reason why Paul Pierce and Dirk Nowitzki held off their retirement tours. That way they don't have to be in this class. Then, you know, Paul, I can't wait for Dirk's Hall of Fame in the next 2 years. It's going to be amazing.
Nor can I.
You look at the class itself. I mean, if you look at Tamika Catchings, you have winners everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, Tamika won in college. Tamika's one of the most winningest women in college basketball history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just women, just players in general of basketball.
Yeah.
She was part of those Tennessee teams with Shamequa Holdsclaw.
Yep.
And not only she held her own, she might have been the best player on those teams, too.
Yeah.
She won a championship in the WNBA. You have champions all over. Duncan and Kobe were matching ring for ring.
Yes.
KG got his in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have defensive player of the years. You have MVPs. You have all NBAs. You have all-stars all around the board. So this is arguably, with the exception of the Dream Team, because, of course, we all know the Dream Team did as a unit.
Yes.
How they transition basketball. But as a class itself, I can't think of, even with the Jordan Hall of Fame class, I don't think nothing comes close to this as far as star power.
So either.
Winning and just all around just greatness.
Yeah.
Like being at Springfield when that Hall of Fame is going to go down is going to be one of the, if it's not the hardest ticket to get since Jordan, I think it might be even harder.
I think it is too. I think it's going to be the toughest ticket to get since MJ was enshrined. And to say that with all of the players and the coaches that represent the Hall of Fame right now, this class right here, I would bet you anything, it'll be sold out within minutes.
And I'm even saying this, both even without, if Kobe Bryant would still be on this earth list today, I think Ticketman would be just as hard as this with him living than him being deceased.
Yeah,
I think that the demand would be even. Now, my question for the Hall of Fame is, if Vanessa Bryant is going to speak on Kobe's behalf, which makes sense, I don't know if she could make a better speech than she made at the Kobe Bryant Memorial.
At his celebration.
I don't know what more, because that was you talk about Jordan's 33-minute speech. I think Vanessa was, what, 17, 18 minutes?
18 minutes.
I can't remember how long it was. It could be, yeah. Whatever the time of Vanessa Bryant's speech, that was the most heartfelt. You felt every word that she was saying, and I couldn't watch it without a tear in my eye.
Nor could
Like,
I.
Every time I watched it, a tear has hit my eye. Like, it's uncontrollable. For some people, it's uncontrollable. Like, for me, I cried, because as much as you might not like Kobe Bryant on the court, you respected the man, you loved the man off the court.
You appreciated him off the court also.
Because even if you didn't like him on the court, for those who have daughters, you relate to Kobe because he was a girl dad.
Yep.
If you're a father, you relate to Kobe because he's a dad. If you're a film lover, the man won an Oscar.
An Oscar, yes, for Dear Basketball.
if you don't have children, love women's basketball. Kobe was the biggest proponent for women's basketball on the men's side.
Yes.
He was proponent. I mean, there's something about Kobe that everybody can relate to, whether you did not like him on the court or not. If you loved him on the court, everything in the off court is just extra. Is extra.
Yeah.
So it's just, and the same thing with Kevin Garnett. Like, people love and hate Kevin Garnett. People who love Kevin Garnett probably love him since the days of Minnesota.
Yep.
You know, when he was the kid, when he was the big ticket, when he was the best player in the league, never to make the finals.
Right.
Because I'll say this to this day, and I know that people argue against me this one. If Sam Cassell does not get hurt in the Western Conference Finals, they beat the Lakers.
They win that series. They win that series. If you have Sam Cassell in 2004, especially with the Timberwolves having home court advantage in that series,
they would have beat the Lakers. They would have beat the Lakers that year.
And would have taken no more than five. They would have clinched it in Minnesota. I believe that
in my heart. I don't know if they would have won that finals that year. I think they lost to the Pistons that year.
Yeah, they would have lost to the Pistons. But they would have trounced the Lakers in 2004. You have Sam Cassell on that series.
Because I compare that injury to, I'm going to say this, it's up there with the, I'd say, Jameer Nelson. When the Magic when Jameer Nelson got hurt, when the Magic replaced Ray for Austin with Jameer Nelson in the finals.
Yes.
You know, I compare it to that. I compare it to even going back to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the finals that year when LeBron lost not only Kevin Love, but when he lost Kyrie in game one.
Right.
Because if Kyrie stayed healthy, that's a completely different series.
It is.
And, you know, you might not like LeBron James or not, but LeBron averaged a triple-double the entire series because he had nothing. He had to give a Herculean performance.
He had to.
And he still couldn't win that year. You can't win this is, you know, Brian, we all know this. This, the NBA, is not the 90s NBA where one guy can single-handedly carry a franchise.
True.
You can't, you know, and Kevin Garnett for years put that entire Minnesota team on his back.
He did.
And one thing Glenn Taylor did was, Kevin was loyal.
Mm-hmm.
He was loyal to Minnesota. He was loyal to Flip. He was loyal.
Mm-hmm.
I know him and Glenn Taylor have not spoken, and I hope that they can mend that relationship because Flip's no longer with us.
Yeah, I hope so,
You know, Flip Saunders is no longer with us. Glenn Taylor allowed Kevin Garnett to be a champion. He allowed him to go to, you know, they facilitated the trade for him to go to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin sacrificed.
Yeah.
You know, when people fail to realize that Kevin Garnett was one of the five best players in the league when he went to Boston.
Yep, he was.
But he went to Boston, and the difference between year one of the Celtics and year one of the Miami Heat was Paul Pierce was the man, Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett basically let Paul lead the team.
Mm-hmm.
In Miami that first year, Dwayne Wade knew LeBron James was that guy.
Yeah.
LeBron James did not want to take Wade County from Dwayne Wade because he respected Dwayne. That was his city. And that's the reason why they didn't win that finals against the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
If LeBron would have taken the role and basically, you know, I know he's a respect factor being in a different city. If they would have the conversation earlier and LeBron would have bought into this being your team, instead of it being Dwayne's team and you guys going back and forth, the Heat would have won those four consecutive championships.
I believe it.
I think they would have won.
I believe it.
It's not LeBron's fault. I think people blame LeBron for that series, but I just think the fact of it is the difference was they're all kids. LeBron, it's not like, you know, you go into a situation in a new city, you're the best player in the world, but you're going into a new city.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing the Warriors dealt with Kevin Durant.
Right.
The only difference was Kevin and Steph, they saw it. Steph knew that, okay, Kevin is the guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to support you. You got to take it.
And he did.
Kevin didn't want that responsibility. Right. Kevin just wanted to be one of the guys.
That's a big.
And then when they midway through the season, when Steph still was the leader, and KD was like, "Yeah, I'm the best player, but I'm going to flop behind Steph." That's when they started obliterating everybody.
Yep. And you bring up that very valid point, and I'm glad you did. You know, because think what you want about the move Kevin Durant made to join Golden State, and I will stick with this until the day I go 6 feet under. And it's a fact. It's a proven fact. The Warriors didn't call Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant called them. Let me repeat myself. Kevin Durant called them because he saw something.
No. Remember, let's go back.
Okay, let's go back.
Draymond Green and Kevin Durant were exchanging text messages the entire season.
Right, you're right.
And
you're absolutely right.
Draymond was like, "Yo, whatever's going on in Oklahoma City, we don't have that out here."
Thank you for bringing
that up. We don't have what you're dealing with in Oklahoma City out here.
Thank you for bringing that to me. I've been wrong all this time, and I will happily admit that. Thank you for bringing that to me. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, because
thank you for bringing
that. Because people are like, you know, I mean, the thing is, it only became bad when the Warriors beat the Thunder. That's because if you think about this, let's just say the Thunder lost the Nuggets that year in the playoffs and KD went to the Warriors next year,
mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have this discussion.
This is true. And I'll repeat your point, and this is Danny's point, folks. It only became bad when the Warriors erased the 3-1 deficit and beat OKC in the West Finals, 2016, I believe that year was.
I think the second I knew it was over, I didn't think he was going to Oakland. When you had Game 6 at home,
yep.
And those two go, him and Westbrook go, then that's 0-7, 0-8 in the fourth quarter, the final 6 minutes.
And Klay Thompson went nuts.
He erased that lead.
he went nuts single-handedly. And
he erased it.
But you bring, I'm so thankful you brought that up, and it was to illustrate the point that Kevin Durant got it. And LeBron got it, I'll say, a year too late. Because when he did catch on, they obliterated Miami obliterated everybody.
The next year, Miami, because they ran through Oklahoma City like X-Lax.
Yep.
Okay, it was really simple. Like, it was, and they got it together.
Yeah, that's true.
And the thing is, you can't, I mean, people blame LeBron for that final series. I just think, look, it's not the fact of LeBron not being super aggressive. No. You go into a city, you're in Cleveland, and Cleveland is your bubble.
Yep.
Everything in that city of Cleveland was you. You leave Cleveland to go to Miami-Dade County, or otherwise known as Wade County. You go into Wade County, the place where Dwayne Wade made his name by becoming Flash in the finals. With an aging Shaquille O'Neal, he carried them to that final series win against the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes.
He carried them.
He did.
Shaq could only get them so far. Wade did what Kobe did. He took over those games.
And took them the rest of the way.
At that point, that became Dwayne City.
Mm-hmm.
That city is still to this day. Wade that is Dwayne Wade City.
Yep.
He took that city from being Dan Marino, because that was all Miami was Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Miami was known for Dan Marino. He didn't win a championship, but Marino was everything the city of Miami was encumbered with.
Right.
The Marlins never had a guy because they kept dismantling their team every time they won. So Marlins didn't have that guy. The Florida Panthers, they were decent, but everybody knew them from the cup run with the Rats.
Yeah.
But that was years ago. So Miami needed an identity. Miami, Dwayne, when Shaq got there, Shaq put them, and the Heat were good.
Yeah.
Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, they were good, but they weren't finals good. Shaq got there. Shaq basically put a face to the city. Dwayne Wade made his own city.
True.
And LeBron comes in, and LeBron's like, "Yo, you're my best friends in the league. I'm coming to help you win. I'm not trying to take your city." And Dwayne's like, "Yo, I see a 6'8", 275-pound battering ram."
Mm-hmm.
That can handle the basketball, and they're going back and forth. It wasn't like they were arguing over whose city it was.
Yeah,
they were arguing with each other, like saying, "You take it, no, you take it, you take it. This is your city,
right.
You're LeBron James." They couldn't get it together.
They couldn't
after
settle.
They lost and they sat down. After because Chris Bosh had built into that third man role.
Mm-hmm.
He was Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy with my role. it's like, okay, you two are two of the three best players in the league, two top five players in the league. Y'all two got to figure this out. LeBron didn't want to step on Wade's toes. Wade was like, yo, I'm willing to let you run this show.
Right. But when they figured it out, when they figured it out, they ran over everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, when Kevin figured it out with Steph, and to a point, Clay and Draymond, you know, it was on after that. It was on it when Steph and KD
beginning of the year
figured it out.
Yeah.
Adios. It was over.
Yeah. When the thing was, I think in the beginning, I think Steph was like, "Yo, KD, it's your team," and KD's like, "No, Steph, this is your city. Like, this is your city. I'm here to help you win." And when they figured out that Kevin is just going to be an assassin, Steph is going to do all this, you know. If we need Kevin to do the heavy lifting late in games, give him the ball. Move out the way.
Yep.
Steve Kerr figured out, okay, I'm gonna manage these guys a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to get their time to shine. Draymond's going to do everything. Klay's going to have his moments. Steph's going to have his. KD's going to have his. And once they figure it out for 2 years, they obliterate everybody. There was nothing nobody could do.
Nope.
There was nothing nobody could do.
Oh, man. It is so much fun talking hoops with this man. Danny Thompson joining me. Man, look, I always have fun talking hoops with you. When the new season does start, we got to make this a weekly or a biweekly conversation, because there's going to be much to put together, my friend. And plus,
we got plenty of stuff to talk about now.
We do, but like I'm inviting you to be my biweekly guest to talk NBA with me, especially when A, the season resumes, and B, when the new season starts, because this is just so much fun. I'd love to have you as my NBA insider.
Oh, I mean, Brian, we always have fun doing this, you know. And yeah, of course, you know, with me, it's always, you know, just let me know the time, and we'll make it work. We've always done that, so it's always supported. And two, we know the 75 greatest players is coming soon.
Yes.
And that's a debate among a debate among a debate, because we're adding 25 players. There's 75 players of all time.
Yep.
We're adding 25, and the question is, add the original 50, who are we leaving off?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we can just add 25 players.
No.
Because there were guys left off the original 50 that should have been on there.
True.
You know, does guys that play in the George Mikan era hold the same weight as they did 25 years later?
It's going to be so interesting to see the next 25 that are added to the all-time team.
Because if Dominique Wilkins is on this list, I'm throwing it all away anyway.
Don't get me started.
See, exactly.
I mean, I grew up a Bulls fan, don't get me wrong. My original favorite player was Julius Erving, and he always will be. But how can you leave the human highlight film off the list? I mean,
it's funny because I remember the biggest argument back in when they did the 50 greatest was Shaquille O'Neal.
What?
It was his fourth year in the league. Before the fifth year in the league, Shaq was on the list. And they were like, how can you put somebody current on this list of the 50 greatest players of all time? And you know what? It turned out fine, because Shaq's one of the 10 to 15 greatest players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out fine.
There were a few active players that were named part of the 50 greatest.
No, but nobody at Shaq's age.
True.
Shaq was like 25.
Yes. And he already at that time made such an impact on the league that...
And he hadn't even won a championship.
Right.
Shaq hadn't even won one championship yet.
And you're right. It turned out just fine.
Now, with this list, I mean, of course, you know, I mean, yeah, you got guys who are, you know, LeBron James and those guys, Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
The question is, how many guys that are currently in their prime? Is Kawhi Leonard one of the 75 greatest players of all time?
How about Steph Curry? How about Klay Thompson? Do you include them?
I know Steph Curry is.
Yes.
Curry revolutionized basketball. That's an easy one.
I think the Splash Brothers are an easy one. Kawhi Leonard, I say yes.
Is Klay Thompson one of the 75 greatest players? I don't know, because here's the question. I think I put Giannis in before I put Klay in.
Put them both in. Hell, let's just be put them both in. Why not?
We're adding 25 foot because you got to think you're adding 25 because Kobe's got to be added, Kevin Garnett's got to be added, Tim Duncan's got to be added. That's the first three.
That's easy. That's easy.
Okay, Reggie Miller's got to be Reggie Miller, Dominique Wilkins. We're talking Steve Nash. I'm going to say Allen Iverson. You know, I want to Allen Iverson.
I just wish Allen Iverson could have been added to the first 50 because I loved watching AI.
Carmelo, you guys consider Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Dwayne Anthony.
Wade, yeah.
There's a lot of guys you have to consider on this list. People hate Carmelo Anthony,
and there's so many to consider.
Do you throw Anthony Davis on this list? I mean, there's a lot of guys on this list in the last 25 years of basketball. Tracy McGrady's on this list. Paul Pierce, Dirk Nowitzki. Yeah, like I said, adding 25 players is not going to be easy.
No, it's not. I thought it would be. I guess I'm wrong. And even my wife / engineer is laughing at me. She's going, you know, it's not going to be easy, and it really isn't.
25 players in 25 years. That's one player per year. And like you said, you have guys who were never even admitted on the list the first time. Like Reggie Miller.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Mitch Richmond. People get Mitch Richmond. There's so many Hall of Famers.
And he's not on the 50 grand.
That's going to be left off the list.
Right. There sure are. Next time, we're attacking that and see who we put on. Let's hear from you folks. Who would you put on this list? Tweet the show at SITM 9 to noon or SNW Digital Media. Got to go to a break. Danny Thompson joining me talking hoops. He'll be my NBA insider from here on out. Thanks a lot, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Mr. Snow. Mr. Snow, I love being on the show, so... You guys be blessed.
Thank you. You be blessed also, and give that little one a tighter hug for Uncle Snowman, all right?
I will.
Thank you, brother.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way down to bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
1 second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Up to Kobe. Follow away.
Curry comes to the ball, goes to the corner, catches, works up Pondexter, fade away three, short, rebound space, Curry in the corner, shoots, on the way, got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He
scores! Get it to Fisher! Scores! And the buzzer!
It goes to Bird. Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on!
All right, it's win or lose. Game six for the Bulls. 10 seconds. And with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.